Good morning. It's great to be here with you all this morning to look into God's Word and to allow Him to speak to our hearts. To begin with, let's look at Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. Before I share with you a little bit more about some things that I think the Lord has put on my heart to share this morning, I'd like to read these two verses in Isaiah chapter 66. Beginning with verse 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. So we see there the greatness and the awesomeness of our great God, and that the Lord wants us to have to realize the poverty of ourselves, our own personal weakness, and to be those who tremble at His Word, those who take His Word very, very seriously. Let's look also at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Last night our brother was sharing with us regarding salvation, how an individual needs to come to their point of recognizing their need before God. And he shared the example of the Philippian jailer, and how he responded, how he recognized his need and then responded to God's word. And here we have written to the believers in Philippi, in Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. We know that in terms of the salvation of our souls, that we're saved by grace through faith, that it's not of works. And yet God works within those of us who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And God now calls us, as it says in verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God is at work in us, and it's important for us to recognize that, because if we don't recognize that, then we can be easily distracted. And just as those who don't know the Lord can be hindered by persecution and fear of what others might say or think or do, and just as those who don't know the Lord can be distracted by the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, so we as believers, if we're not careful, can be distracted and hindered in our fruit-bearing and testimony by those things. And so God calls us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Our souls are saved by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, but God wants us to live daily by faith, believing His word and living in the light of what God says, and realizing, as it says in verse 13, that it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. But for the Lord to work in us in all the ways that He desires, we need to submit to the Lord and to set our minds on things above, to realize what it is that God's at work doing, and to daily present ourselves to the Lord, asking Him to work in us and to accomplish His good pleasure in our lives. So this morning I'd like to talk about, Lord willing, five things: perspective, cleansing, love, communication, and faith. And these five things, I think, are essential if we are going to live our lives with an eternal perspective and allow the Lord to produce the fruit in and through our lives that He desires. If we're going to live our lives making disciples and taking God's word seriously, these five things are important to keep in mind. Let's take a look first at a few passages regarding perspective. Familiar passages, but good reminders. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. The Lord, after rising from the dead, appeared to his disciples, and he gave them a command. As his learners, as his students, as his followers, he commanded them to go and make disciples, more learners, more students, more followers of the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." One thing that can help us a lot in the process of making disciples is realizing what the Lord Jesus said at the end of that passage. "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The Lord calls us to be willing to go wherever He would lead us to go, to say whatever He would lead us to say, to do whatever He would lead us to do. And if we think about that, just in terms of thinking about ourselves, we find that how could we ever do that? And on our own, we never could do that. But what makes it possible, and what gives us comfort, and what gives us joy in this journey of our walk with the Lord through this life as pilgrims and strangers in this world, is that He has promised to be with us always, even to the end of the age, never to leave us, never to forsake us, holding us in His hand, and we're secure there. We are His through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He's told us to go. Back in Matthew chapter 16, another verse related to why He's called us to go and how this fits into God's plan. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Second half of verse 18, the Lord Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." And the Lord Jesus is in the work of building His church. And we have the privilege of co-laboring, being involved in God's work, God's great work, His eternal work. He's building His church, preparing a bride for Christ. God is at work. And four other passages relating to perspective. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 in verse 16. Referring to the Son of God. "For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him." So why are we here? We were created by Him, through Him, and for Him. So today, as we consider, what is the purpose of my life? I was created for the Son of God. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. And these are good verses to remember. Many mornings I find myself praying these verses to the Lord and asking the Lord to help these to be true in my life, because our brother was talking about how to go out and share the gospel, it's not an easy thing. It's not something that we can do in and of ourselves. And it requires focusing on the Lord and allowing Him to work through us. And different days when I've been going through the day and I felt like something's not quite right, and I feel like the fellowship with God isn't quite what it should be, or I'm just not as willing to do what God's calling me to do as I should be, I'm often reminded of these verses and then take time to pray them to the Lord, or many mornings, even as I wake up, praying these verses to the Lord, asking the Lord's help this to be true. And then there's peace, and then there's joy, and then, you know, things can fit in as they should as we submit to our great God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy or set apart, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you want to know what God's will is for your life today, for the next week, for the next month, for the next year, for the rest of your life? Here God tells us how we can experience His will for our lives. To be submitted to Him, set apart to Him. It's our reasonable service. And not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, allowing God's Word to renew our minds, to renovate our minds. Just like an old house in disrepair is in need of renovation, our minds are in need of renovation daily. And then we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Sometimes we can be fearful in life, fearful of circumstances, fearful of the things around us, fearful of doing what God calls us to do. And when we are, by God's grace, may we be reminded to place our focus where God calls us to place our focus. And as we do, then we can experience God's peace instead of focusing on and experiencing that fear. And these verses explain how God wants us to do that. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. That's the answer, looking unto Jesus, putting our focus on Him. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Colossians chapter 3. And so these verses are all about perspective. Where should our focus be? Understanding why we're here, not according to our own desires, but according to God's desire. And fixing our eyes on Jesus, submitting ourselves to God so that His will be accomplished moment by moment, day by day. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Notice the action involved in that word. Seek those things which are above. It's not something that just happens without effort or without focus or without submitting to the Lord and allowing Him to work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. I remember being at a Bible conference several years ago, and even at that Bible conference where the Word of God was being preached and proclaimed and things, I realized at one point in the middle of it that I needed to take some time just to get apart with God and to do what this verse says, to seek those things which are above, to set my heart where God wants it to be. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So we're to be dead to ourselves and alive to God, seeking the things which are above, setting our minds on things above. And then Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So God wants us to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. But there's difficulty involved in that, because here we are living in these bodies, and so there's a battle between the flesh and the Spirit. And we're to crucify the flesh and to be led by the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. But in order for us to live and do what's pleasing to the Lord, we need to confess our sins, because none of us always do what's right. And so in 1 John chapter 1, it speaks there about cleansing and fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1, again, a very familiar verse, but a very practical verse. And if you haven't yet begun seeking to, in a moment by moment, minute by minute, hour by hour sort of a way, begun to walk in fellowship with God, confessing your sin to him, seeking to do so immediately, then you're missing out on the joy of relationship with God that he wants you to enjoy. And you're missing out on being led by the Spirit as much as God wants us to be led by his Spirit. Let's actually begin back at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Do you want to have full joy? God explains to us here how to have full joy. Let's read on. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Once we've received the Lord Jesus Christ, we're his children, and we're safe and secure in his hand. But God wants us to live our lives in fellowship with him, being those listening for the voice of the Lord Jesus, following him, being led by the Spirit of God. And in order for there to be that close fellowship, it's important that as we realize that we've sinned in thought or word or action, that we confess our sins and that we seek to maintain right relationship with God as well as right relationship with the believers around us, living in fellowship with God and with his people. And then we can be more sensitive, more in tune with how God desires to lead us by his Spirit, so that his work can be accomplished in our lives. One other passage along these lines, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is also a good scripture to share with others, even as you're sharing the gospel door to door, or with friends or neighbors if they claim to be a believer, but their life is clearly contradicting their claim. This is a scripture which is important for us and for each one who claims the name of Christ to take seriously. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone, especially this year, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So, as we name the name of Christ, as we are his, it's important that we seek to allow the Lord to help us to depart from iniquity, and that we call those who know the Lord, or claim to know him, to depart from iniquity. And if someone claims to know him, and they seek to depart from iniquity, they'll find that they're not capable of doing it on their own. And then by God's grace, they may come to the point of realizing that they need the Lord to save them. And beginning in verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified or set apart, made holy, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Do I want to be prepared for every good work that God would have me to do? Do you want to be prepared for every good work that God has for you to do? I hope that's the case with each of us. And if that is the case, God tells us what we need to do. We need to allow the Lord to cleanse us, that we might be a vessel for honor, sanctified, set apart, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So it's important for us to have the right perspective, to get God's thoughts on our lives, God's thoughts on why we're here. We know from Isaiah 55 that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways than our ways. So we need his thoughts, his perspective, and we need to be cleansed so that we can be vessels for honor, ready for our master's use. Three other things that are essential for living a lifestyle of making disciples and sharing the gospel: love, communication, and faith. Love. We know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We know that Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And we know that the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. God has loved the world, he's loved the church, and we can each personally say, he loved me. And he still loves us. Why? God is love. So as we experience God's great love, and as God works in us, as the scripture says in 1 John 4:19, that we love him because he first loved us. And so allowing him to work in us, when the fruit of the Spirit is listed, love, joy, peace, love. That's something that God works in and through us for his glory. The Lord Jesus, speaking of the, in Mark chapter 12, let's take a look at Mark chapter 12. We know from 1 Corinthians 13 that if we don't have love, it profits us nothing. Even if we have great faith, even if we have great works, but love is essential. In Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 29, Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment." And so again, we're reminded of the constant need to submit to God's word and to hear what God has to say to us, because if we're going to even attempt to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that requires constant submission to him. in the world, many people think if you were to ask them, what's the greatest commandment? They would say, love your neighbor as yourself. But we know that in order to truly love our neighbor in the way that we ought to love our neighbor, we need to first know the Lord and seek to be loving Him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Otherwise, our love for our neighbor would be imperfect, which is the common, it's so common in the world today for people to think that they're being loving and respectful by telling others, you have your ways, I have my ways, let's just each go our own way and live peaceably. But that's not the most loving thing to do. Because as we realize, we're created by God and for God, and that we're to love Him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, we need to present the truth to people, that they may realize that the Lord Jesus is the only way to God. And so this love is essential. In John chapter 13, and as we look at these scriptures, we see our constant need for the Lord and our constant need to just be confessing our sin before Him, because these things, they're impossible for us to do on our own. And though none of us may completely fulfill these things, yet the Lord calls us to allow Him to work in us in this direction. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and beginning with verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And so, right doctrine is very important. It's essential that people may come to know the Lord as their Savior. But love is also essential. And the Lord Jesus said that we're to love one another as He loved His disciples. And what did the Lord Jesus do for us? He laid down His life for us. And so we're to be laying down our lives for one another. And we're to be loving the lost. And that's why we're here together today, hopefully, is because we love the Lord and we love the lost. And we want to go forth to share His word with them, that they may come to know Him. May we have hearts and eyes like our Lord Jesus. In Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9, and beginning with verse 36, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. And praise the Lord for each one who's here as a laborer to be sent into His harvest today. And we can continue to pray that the Lord will cause more to see the multitudes and be moved with compassion. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So it's by God's grace and His working in us that we can be and become who God wants us to be. And that we can look upon others and see them not as mere physical individuals, but to see people as souls, eternal souls, walking around who are in need of salvation. In Scripture, many times we're reminded of the importance of being sober-minded, of the importance of thinking and realizing the seriousness of what's going on about us. And is we remember that life is a battlefield and that there's spiritual battle going on each day all around us. Communication is also essential. We know that it's important for us to allow the Lord to communicate to us. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And it's important for us to communicate with God, to worship Him, to recognize how awesome He is, and to pour out our hearts in worship and thanksgiving. But also as we have cares, we have difficulties, God wants us to present these to Him. And again, that can help us to maintain the right focus, as He calls us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to make our requests known unto God, and then to experience His peace. He calls us to cast our cares upon Him, because He cares for us. And He calls us to pray without ceasing. And I found that that is very important, that as we go through our lives, may we be individuals who are just willing to take things to the Lord, moment by moment, day by day. As we go out with the gospel today, as you see people in the park, whether audibly or silently, even as you're walking through the park, you can be praying for them, asking God to work in their hearts. As someone else is sharing the gospel with them, you can be praying that God would give them the words to speak. As you're at the door and one person is talking, you might at times be praying that the Lord would give them the words to speak. And even as you've left a door, as you've left someone you've talked to at the park, you can be praying that the Lord would continue to work in their hearts and that the Lord would send more to reach them. And the Lord may lead you to ask some individuals if it would be okay for someone to come back and to share with them more about how they can know for sure if they have eternal life, and then to ask them if they could write down some contact information about how someone could get in touch with them in order to make the most of that opportunity to reach out to them with the gospel and with God's word. So love is essential. Communication is essential. And God's word is essential not only to allow the Lord to speak to us, but also to allow the Lord to speak to the hearts and minds of others. As we share the gospel with people, it's important, it's generally, can be very important and very helpful if there be a two-way communication. Years ago, I would be involved in some door-to-door outreach, and we would invite people to an event, which is a good thing to do. We'd offer them some gospel literature, which is a good thing to do. And at times we would even seek to give them like a 30 or 90 second gospel message, which again is a good thing to do. And the general result of that was that after 30 to 90 seconds, they would say something like, okay, I have my own church, have a good day, or okay, thank you, but I'm busy, have a good day. But when I was in Ireland on a missions trip over there, Brother Chuck Ebrin encouraged us to ask people questions. Questions like, have you ever thought much about eternity? Or do you believe in heaven or hell? Or do you know for sure if you have eternal life? And through asking people questions and listening, hearing what they have to say, as people see that you love them, you care about them, you're willing to have a two-way communication, many times I've found that the conversation opens up and you might have opportunity to share with somebody at their door for 5 minutes, a half hour, an hour and a half, sometimes even several hours, and sometimes opportunities to go back and share with them more on future occasions. A few questions that I like to ask people at times after saying hello and maybe asking how they're doing or introducing myself to them and building a little bit of camaraderie and communication is, do you think it's possible for someone to know if they have eternal life? Because most people think that you can't know for sure. That's been my experience as to what people think. And then to ask them, may I share with you from the Bible how God says that you can know if you have eternal life? And many times if people are open at all, they will say yes. And then that gives you the opportunity to open a Bible and allow God to speak to them directly through His word. The two questions there were, Do you think it's possible for someone to know if they have eternal life? In the second question, may I share with you from the Bible how God says you can know if you have eternal life? Last week on a community college campus, the Lord provided the opportunity to share the gospel with someone using the three rope illustration. And then afterwards, to ask them questions like that, and they said, sure, you can share with me. And so two of us sat down with Ebony and Sheila and went through the gospel. And Ebony seemed to come to an understanding that she was not yet saved. She didn't yet have a relationship with the Lord, and that she was ready and desired that relationship with the Lord through faith in Jesus Christ. And she said that she called on the Lord to be her Savior. I like to open up to different gospel verses to allow people to read them for themselves, and then sometimes to ask them a question based on that verse to help bring out a truth in that verse. I'll just list for you some of my favorite gospel verses to use. You might find these helpful. We don't have opportunity to look at them in detail right now, but here are some references of what I've sometimes referred to as the International Romans Road. You've heard of the Romans Road before. Here's an International Romans Road. It takes a few detours. Beginning in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, we see that God is the creator and that we have no excuse before God even for claiming that he's not there because of what God has created. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 and perhaps 21 as well. Then Romans chapter 3, verse 23, our brother was sharing last night about the importance of people really understanding what that means, of understanding that they've fallen short of God's perfection. And then Romans chapter 6, verse 23, and there's a transition question that I often like to ask people when going from Romans 3:23 to 6:23, which is, do you know what God says that we've earned or deserved because of our sin? And many people don't know. And then looking at Romans 6:23, you can explain that the wages of sin, what we've earned or deserved because of our sin, is death. And that's not only physical death, but also spiritual separation from God. And then as our brother was sharing last night about the importance of the commandments, one command that I often like to focus in on is to ask people, have you ever lied? And what do we call people who lie or who've lied? Liars. And then to ask another transition question of, do you know where God says that liars will have their part or where they will go? And then often turn to Revelation chapter 21. And Revelation chapter 21, the second half of verse 8, it says, and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Helping people to see that even if lying were their only sin, yet that would be enough that they're on their way towards the lake of fire without the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes I ask people, does that concern you? Is that where you want to go? And, of course, it's not usually where people want to go. And sometimes I go back to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the second half. And the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Where is that eternal life found? It's found in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I like to focus in on how the aspect of relationship with God. Because not only is sin and the consequence of sin something that a lot of people don't understand these days, but the importance of relationship with God is something that many people do not understand the importance of. And so, heading out of the book of Romans again to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 in verse 12 is a verse which I often like to look at. John chapter 1 in verse 12 says that as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. In verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so it talks there about the importance not just of believing doctrines about who God is and about what Christ did, but the importance of receiving Him. And here, if people are open, you can take a look at the context to help people to see who He is, what it means to receive Him. And we see that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that this Word, which was God, became flesh and dwelt among us. That the Lord Jesus Christ was Emmanuel, God with us. That He's the one through whom all things were created. And that He wants us to receive Him for who He is. Because a lot of people would claim to, well, many people would claim to believe in Jesus Christ. They would claim to believe that He's the Son of God. Mormons and JWs, they would use that language, but they would not agree with us. They would not agree with what Scripture says here about how He is the Word who was God and became flesh and dwelt among us, how He is the one and only God, Father, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, being the one true God. And so, relationship, the importance of receiving Him. Another scripture I like to go to is 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 in verse 12. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12 says, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." And to help people to see that there are two groups of people in the world. There are those who have the Son of God, and they have life. And we know it's not just talking about physical life, because all of us who are alive have physical life. But it's talking about eternal life. We see that also from verse 11 and verse 13 surrounding it. So there are those who have the Son, and they have life, and there are those who do not have the Son of God, and they do not have that eternal life. And I like to ask people, which group do you fit into? There was a young man named Sean in Clinton, Iowa. We'd gone back on a follow-up visit to visit Fatima, a friend of his who'd expressed interest in coming to an outreach event. And after we'd talked a long time with Fatima, Sean, who was on his computer, had been listening carefully to most all of what we'd been sharing. And the Lord led us to look at this verse with Sean and to ask him which group of people he thought he fit into, and he said the second half, and asked him if that was the group he wanted to be in, and he said no, and to share with him that that night that he had the opportunity to go from being in the second half to the first half, and then we looked at many scriptures and went through the gospel with him, and he expressed that he was ready to do what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, another scripture that I like to look at with people. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you can ask people, who does God say will be saved? And many times I've heard people in response to that say, me. If they've been willing to hear the gospel and taking to heart what it says, by the time they get to that verse, they may realize that they're ready to call on the name of the Lord, though not always. And I like to share with people that this calling on the Lord here, that in the context, it's not just talking about calling on the Lord for a new car or for help with a general issue of life, but the importance of realizing that we're guilty sinners before God, and that on our own, that we'd be headed towards the lake of fire, and that we need the Lord Jesus to save us, and that He is God, and that He died for our sins and rose from the dead, and that we want to receive Him for who He is and begin that eternal relationship with God. And I like to ask people, if you were to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what book do you think God would want you to read? And most understand that the Bible is what they'd want God to read. That's right, God would want you to read the Bible to hear what He has to say and to learn how He desires for you to live. And what group of people do you think God would want you to gather with? And many by that point would understand, well, the church, others who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And And that's right, and sharing with them how that's important. And if someone does profess to put their trust in the Lord, and if there's time and opportunity at that point, some other scriptures I like to look at them with them at are Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42, to see things that the Lord would have them to do, to be baptized and to be devoted to steadfastly gathering with the believers for the things listed there. John chapter 5, verse 24, and John chapter 10, verses 27 to 30 are some good verses related to assurance of salvation. And it's important for people to understand that. John 5, 24, John 10, 27 to 30. So God calls us not only to be saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but as believers, he calls us to live our lives by faith. God tells us in his word, the just shall live by faith. And so God wants us as believers to moment by moment, day by day, be hearing his word, submitting to him, and living by faith, believing what God says, doing what he's called us to do. And that's how we can experience God's good and pleasing and perfect will in our lives. Certainly we cannot do this in and of ourselves, but our great and awesome God, he is able. He is the one who works in us to will and to do for his good pleasure. So by God's grace, may we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. May we run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love towards us. We thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ, that we can each say, he loved me and gave himself for me. And so we pray, Lord, that the truth of that verse, that it would be true in our lives, that the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Lord, may we be those who take your word very seriously and who remember who you are, who remember the great works that you've done in the past, that we may be encouraged and know that you can do great things even now in the present. May we be submitted to you, surrendered to you. May we have our sins confessed before you and seek to forsake them and to walk in fellowship with you, God, walking in the light as you are in the light, that we may experience your full joy, that we may experience your peace as we cast all our cares upon you. We thank you, God, for the reminder that you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So, Lord, please help us to be those who trust you, those who hear your word, and acknowledge to you that we cannot do these things on our own, but to trust you to work in and through us for your glory and for your honor. We thank you, Lord, for how you've worked in our lives to bring us here this morning. We pray, God, that you'd send us out as laborers into the harvest. And we pray, Lord, that you'd send out others, too, as laborers into the harvest. We pray, Lord, that we would be those who would live our lives with the focus of focusing on you and doing as you've said, to go and make disciples. So, Lord, we love you, we thank you, we love you because you first loved us. We thank you for who you are, that you are the great and awesome God, and that you are able to work even in ones like us for your good pleasure. We thank you in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.